Good day and welcome to the Milhalla's year-to-date Q3 2017 conference call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Shahan. Please go ahead, sir.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for your patience and sorry for the delay. Hi, this is Shahan Keshgarian from QNB Financial Services. I want to welcome everyone to Milhalla's 9 months 2017 results conference call. On this call, we have Akram Iswaisi, EVP Finance and Investments, and Sami Shtayeh, VP Financial Planning and Analysis. So we will conduct this conference with first management reviewing the company's results, followed by Q&A. I will turn the call over now to Akram. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sean. Actually, this is Sami Shtayeh. Thank you all for joining our year-to-date September earnings call. Starting off with the consolidated financial results for the first 9 months of the year, operating revenues came in at 1.66 billion reals compared to 1.99 billion reals for the same period in 2016, for a decrease of 17% year over year. Operating profit came in at 200 million reals compared to 513 million reals for the same period in 2016, for a decrease of 61% year over year. And net profit for the first 9 months of 2017 was 363 million compared to 759 million reals for the same period in 2016 for a decrease of 52% year over year. All business segments were down versus 2016 with essentially the same three issues plaguing us in the third quarter that have been plaguing us all year long. Number one, overall shipping industry is going through very difficult times. Number two, oil and gas industry clients are cutting back on spending. And number three, the Qatari equities market has had a very rough ride year to date. Having said that, however, we are seeing some glimmers of hope, particularly within our maritime and logistics segment, where we picked up steam with nice volume increases in both our container shipping unit and into the Hamad port. Container shipping volumes were up 1% versus the same period last year, with even better rate and margin improvements. Hamad port volumes were up 10% versus the same period last year. Put things into perspective, as of the end of June 2017, volumes at the port were down 10%, so that's quite a dramatic flip and an increase. On to offshore, impairments and lower rates continue to be the headlines here. Compared to last year, we have an additional 57 million of impairments that have hurt results. Rates are also lower than the last period in 2016. Overall, average utilization percentages, however, remain very close to what they were last year, coming in at the mid-60s. Our gas and petrochem unit is the one dragging down the Milhalla's overall numbers the most. Operationally, not much has changed throughout the year. The segment continues to be negatively impacted by the global downturn in shipping. Virtually all sectors we operate in are showing degradation versus last year. On to our trading segment, which posted a 5 million real dip in profits versus last year. Lower equipment and lubricant sales continue to bring down results versus 2016. Last but not least, our capital segment. At the net profit level, our real estate unit came in flat with 2016, and our Qatar Quarries associate posted an 8 million increase versus last year. Investments is what hurt us. We took an impairment in the first quarter of 21 million in our available for sale portfolio and had 99 million in lower returns from our actively held for trading portfolio. Now I'll switch over to our outlook. In maritime and logistics, we expect to see continued volume growth both on our own vessels and at the port. That should continue to drive higher financial results. In offshore, it's quite evident that we cannot recover the downfall from the first 9 months of the year in the final quarter. However, commercially speaking, we are seeing more requests for quotations. That is usually a sign of good things to come, so we remain cautiously optimistic. Gas and petrochem remains at the mercy of global shipping rates. Many analysts believe things have bottomed out, but it's difficult to say for sure. In our trading unit, we expect to have a subdued rest of year. And lastly, capital. Investments are largely tied to the Qatar exchange, so I'll refrain on predicting what the market will or won't do. Our real estate unit should begin to show slight upticks in revenue with the opening of our Altamama warehousing project, but figures won't be fully evident until 2018. And with that, I'll now turn it over for questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function is turned off on your phone to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that's star 1 to ask a question. We will now pause for a moment to allow everyone to a chance to signal. There are currently no questions on the telephone at this time.
I have a question, Sammy. Thanks for the conference call, by the way. Regarding Milaha Capital, operating expenses jumped year on year. Does this have to do with the real estate aspect, or?
No, Sean. Actually, the operating supplies and expenses go hand in hand with the revenue growth in our Qatar Quarry subsidiary.
Mm-hmm.
So our Qatar Quarry's growth was quite remarkable. You can see in the presentation that our revenue went from
Qatar Quarry.
Look at the waterfall. In the presentation, the revenue increased by $83 million. So that comes along with it, associated cost of goods sold, which hit the operating supplies and expenses line.
Okay. That's good to know.
We will now take our next question from Siwad Rizzi of Arlan Investment. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi, Sammy. Thank you for the call. A few questions. The one is we have been seeing a provision every quarter, roughly. Can you please explain this provision, which is like almost $12 million this quarter? Is this to which segment, and what is the likelihood of having another provision next quarter? Sorry, impairment.
Yeah, $12 million. Sorry. Yeah.
$12 million impairment.
Yes, impairments. So yes, we have booked approximately $57 million of additional impairments this year when you compare it to last year. The vast majority of that has been in the offshore segment. We can really divide them into three parts, two of which were already half of the year, and $12 million, which was expensed in the third quarter. The first one has to do with some vessels that we have at a shipyard. This was going through arbitration over the years. The arbitration results were finalized. We ended up booking a final impairment, and that chapter is now closed. That amount was 22 million reals. In the first half of the year, we also booked 23 million reals. This was related to our Singapore unit. We had a lift boat that we had acquired in 2016, took possession of it and acquired last year. And simply put, the value of that is not worth what we had on the books. So we had to take an impairment on that. Last but not least was the impairment, the 12 million impairment that we booked in Q3. That had to do with the diving saturation system. So this is a sophisticated piece of equipment used in the, on our diving vessels. Again, it simply was not worth, according to, external appraisals, simply was not worth what we had on the books, so we have to take an impairment on that. We don't forecast impairments. We don't estimate them going forward. What we do is simply, and this is, an IFRS requirement, it's not a Milaha requirement, but simply put, we have to run through impairment testing on a regular basis, which we do on a quarterly basis, and based on the impairment testing, we either take an impairment or not.
So I had a question on the market because, you know, you have significant exposure to the market. The market has fallen like 20% in the last 6 months. If market remains at the level where it is, assuming by end of the year, would there be a significant impairment hitting into the numbers?
You're talking about the investment portfolio? Is that correct?
Yeah. You have a small investment portfolio, which is both held to maturity and as well as, I mean, you know, this AFS portfolio as well as the trading portfolio. So on the both portfolios, do you see a significant impact coming by end of the year? Because after the quarter ended, the market fell by like 5%. So if we assume the market stay where it is, do you expect, how much impairment do you expect on your held to maturity portfolio, if any?
We don't anticipate anything on either portfolio.
Neither portfolio. In other words, okay, so you don't see any impact on the market.
We don't consider these, or we wouldn't consider these permanent devaluations, I guess you could say, and hence we would not anticipate any further impairments on the either portfolio.
Besides, we don't provide forward-looking views on impairments because it's the market is very volatile this year, so it can move in either direction. So it's tough for us to predict exactly what the fourth quarter is going to look like from an impairment perspective. So it's something that we generally don't do. We can give a view on the operational aspect of our business, but in terms of impairments, we can't predict that.
Yeah, okay. On the operational side, one question on the port. The port seems to is performing well. I mean, can you explain, is there any benefit that you're receiving from the government, or is there anything especially after the what happened in the last few months, or is it something which is there due to operational efficiencies because the better port or whatever? What is driving this improved numbers in the port?
Yeah, I mean, it's no secret that a lot of the volumes that were coming to Qatar via the land, in other words, the Saudi border, those have in large part to sea freight, and hence the volumes at the port have definitely done remarkably well. As I mentioned in the call, they were down 10% through June. Volumes year on year were down 10% at the end of June of this year. And at the end of September, they're now up 10%. So you can see a 20-point flip in the volumes, and that's to a year-to-date number. So volumes definitely increased. The situation has driven that increase. Efficiencies definitely are part of it as well. The port is a state-of-the-art facility. You can definitely expect shorter times in and out. The automation, all of that.
But fundamentally, the growth in the port business is driven primarily by the shifting of the land cargo to the sea, and as well as just organic increase in volumes as well.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you. Just as a reminder, it's star one on your telephone keypad to ask a question. We will now take our next question from Faris Al-Sharaj Sharaj from UNB Financial Services. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi guys. Sami, on the old port, you had a 60-40 split with the government, the revenue split with the government. Can you just tell us what the new port contractual agreement is that you have right now and any progress in that as time goes on?
I guess, Firas, all I can say on the current arrangement is what has already been public. I can't say anything above and beyond that. What we put in the financial statements is that, you know, there's a concession fee, and it's a 51-49 split. Aside from that, I can't get into the operational details or any other financial details related to the joint arrangement between us and Milani. Does that answer your question?
Okay. Unfortunately, yes, but thank you very much. Yeah.
Okay.
There are currently no further questions on the telephone at this time.
Okay, let's. I guess thank you everyone for joining the call. We look forward to your attendance in the year-end call, which will take place sometime in the towards the March time frame of 2018. Thank you once again. Bye bye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your participation. You may now disconnect.